Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Off the ball. Rugby.
Oh, I would rather go out in the sword than get to that point. But, you know, I said when Finlay and the sub front row were on the field, they had the right idea of at least hitting down.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Saturday panel
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by L'Oreal Men Expert. Try new Derma Control for oily and blemish prone skin.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. You can WhatsApp us, folks, today, 0879 180 180. And this week's Saturday panel on Off the Ball is brought to you by L'Oreal Men Expert. Try new Derma Control for oily and blemish-prone skin. So, in August of this year, the Dublin footballers won the Ladies All-Ireland title for the seventh occasion, beating Meath in the final at Croke Park by 216 to 10 points. The top scorer on the day and for the championship was Hannah Tyrrell, who announced her retirement afterwards and was later crowned the TG Cahir Player of the Year. And one of the Dublin goal scorers was Niamh Heatherton, who comes from a big GA family. Lots to reflect on then for the Dubs this year. Over the next hour on the panel, and Hannah Tyrrell and Niamh Heatherton are in studio. You're both very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, John.
You're both in good form. Have you watched it back yet many times?
Well, kind of a tradition, I suppose, we've had with the Dubs would be hitting the boar's head the next day and
like the lads
over a couple of waters, having having a look back at the game and just trying to enjoy the occasion, because I suppose when you're playing, it's it's hard to kind of remember it all and take it all in, I suppose.
Yeah,
it's obviously a great day on the Monday, and obviously when you win, it makes it a lot easier to watch it back.
Yeah, just maybe look start at the beginning, folks, because I was going through, Hannah, your varied sporting career. You won an FAI Cup winners medal with St Catharines in 2011. Then you were on the wing when Ireland won the Six Nations in 2015. They won the championship. They'd won the Grand Slam 2 years earlier. Your victory with the Dubs this year followed your player of the match display against Kerry in 2023. So was it a case for you when you were growing up, I'm playing loads of different sports and I'm going to find out what I like?
Yes and no. I was kind of encouraged to play lots of different sports, but I mostly played like football, soccer in my early days, and I didn't find GAA till I was about 13, and then didn't find rugby till I was 23 or so. And I was just, I suppose, very lucky to have played with teams that had some incredible players, and we had a lot of success along the way. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and encourage any player really to try out different sports, and I suppose your abilities can kind of help from one sport to another, so it was great.
What helps, say, from soccer to rugby and from rugby to GAA? So if you're like playing for the Dubs this year and you're in the All-Ireland final, what are the little things that might be helping you from your other sports and your experience?
I think for me, with kicking anyway, like kicking with the instep, I learned from soccer from a very young age. That came very naturally to me with Gaelic football, and I suppose helped with kind of the shooting aspect. And then just footwork, agility, kind of stuff like that with rugby, and transferring it over to both sports. I think they all kind of help one another in a way. I suppose worked really hard at stuff outside of training in my own time. I always would have had a football around when I was younger, and thankfully it's all paid off.
So if there's a young girl listening in now, would you say, look, try your hand at various things until you find what you're comfortable with?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something out there for everybody in some form of physical exercise, and I'd be very much like give everything a try, and you never know what you fall into. I never really thought I'd end up playing rugby, let alone play rugby for Ireland and travel the world and play in World Cups and stuff. And I just kind of fell into it a little bit, and it turned out pretty well for me.
How do these environments differ? So the soccer environment, the rugby environment, the Gaelic Games environment, I presume they all have their own flavours.
Yeah, and I think they have like very different personalities and walks of life among those different sports as well. But like soccer for me was always amateur, even playing with St Catharines at the highest level. We were always an amateur team. We come from inner city Dublin, ran by a guy, Brother Bernard, who basically gave young kids a chance to get out of maybe what wasn't always a very positive household or environment and play a sport that they loved, and just happened to have a lot of talent in there, and we ended up successful there. And then like Gaelic football is just about playing with your parish and the people that you grew up around and with and in your own community, and rugby was just a mishmash of people from all over the country, different ages, sizes, abilities, and
Was you professional then when you were you on a deal, like when you played rugby?
When I played rugby for Ireland initially, yes, I was a sevens player, so we were contracted because it was an Olympic sport, but the 15 side of it, which I kind of jumped in and out of, was completely amateur.
Okay.
But yeah, I was professional and training kind of Monday to Friday. That was my job. That was pretty cool. Like, I was a student at the time and they were paying me to play rugby. Not loads now, but they were paying me to play rugby, top facilities, travel the world, represent your country, potentially go to the Olympics. Like, as someone who was a youngster in college, it was something I could only have ever dreamed of. You know, the only way I thought I'd get to the Olympics was through athletics or something, having watched Sonia O'Sullivan growing up. You know, I didn't think professional sport was going to be an opportunity for me, and it turned out very differently.
And Niamh, you've got a very deep family background to get at games.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. I mean, my mum and dad were both heavily involved growing up when they both played with Dublin, and then I suppose we had no choice when we came along to follow in their footsteps. So me and my four siblings, all of us were ingrained in the GAA.
So your dad was a Kieran. Was he a selector with Anthony Daly?
Yeah, he was a selector with Daylo in 2009, 2014, I think it was.
So when they won the league in 11 and they won Leinster in 13, you were there in the inner circle.
Yeah, I was probably the prime age to go along with my dad to all the trainings back then. So yeah, no, I was there on the day. Yeah, it was deadly.
I say, even as a youngster, you're picking up like things about a team environment and success and pressure and big days and everything.
Yeah, I suppose you're probably not aware of it as an 11-year-old that is the case. But yeah, I loved going to training with my dad and robbing the energizers from everyone. it was brilliant.
So your brother is also involved, John Heatherton. So this year he got, two goals against Wexford? He's in his 30s. And then that goal against Limerick in that amazing day when the Dubs beat Limerick, a team that had won four in a row in the last few years. So were you watching? Were you at the game?
I was, yeah. I was at both.
Right.
Yeah. We're kind of a family that if you don't go to the matches now, you get a bit of a slagging. So, yeah, no, we were definitely there on the day.
That must be a real thrill for the family and a buzz that a player, maybe not in his young part of his career, would come in and make such an impact for the Dubs.
Big time. I think he's probably been one of Vincent's main players for the last couple of years, and we were slagging him, telling him that his Dublin career was over and that he would never make it. Even when he told us the start of this year that he was going back, we thought he was mad, but look, it turned out great for him, and yeah, he's delighted.
Yeah, and you play what, football for Clontarf and camogie for Vincent's?
Yeah, we're a bit of a split household. I play football with Clontarf and camogie with Vincent's, and then John and my sister Michelle are Vincent's, and then my brother Kevin is Crave. So yeah, we're a bit all over the shop.
They can't decide who they want to play for.
No. Do you think it's possible to be a GAA player nowadays? And like, we saw it with like Rena Buckley, Breach Cork, who for Cork like blazed a trail with that for many years, but is it harder now in a more professional environment, I would say?
At county level, I would say it's definitely not very feasible. I think the demands of players are a lot different now. I don't think it's possible to play both. You're probably robbing Peter to pay Paul if that was the case. You can't really give 100% to either of them if you were to commit to both setups. So I think in this day and age, you're probably better off just choosing one and giving it your all.
Can you see that as a good argument as well, that you couldn't play probably two sports at the moment, the level you've been playing for, say, for the Dubs?
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, as much as you want kids and people to be playing both sports, and you don't want to lose dual players from the game, etc., I think Hedjo's right that if you want to give 100% to a team, I just don't think it's feasible to really give, and maybe it's just us with our Dublin perspective, I don't know. I couldn't see how someone's able to give 100% to both codes at the same time. And yeah, look, with Dublin football as well, when I first went off to my to the Irish Sevens team in 2014, I was signing a contract for them and I kind of had to leave. I was involved in the Dublin 2014 senior team at that time, and we were going into a Division 1 league final, I think, for the first time ever. And I was a starting goalkeeper and I had to step away from that and pursue this different career. And it was really difficult at the time, but I suppose for me, I never thought again, like I said, that I'd get an opportunity to have this professional contract. And I kind of thought, I'll come back to Dublin in a couple of years and hopefully fulfil something Took a little longer than a couple of years, but we got there.
You both play in the full forward line this year against Meath in the All-Ireland, and like, you've known each other maybe about 4 years. Did you become mates? Is there a distance in squads? I mean, how much is friendship a big part of, like, say, an amateur intercounty team?
I don't like Hedgehog at all.
And no, friendship is, it's amazing. Like, in a team environment, like, you have people who are 18 and you have the L ones like Hannah.
But get that in there.
We all, like, it's kind of a strange one. Like, you do end up being friends with people who you would never meet outside of a team sport. And I think this year in particular, when we started out at the start of the year, we probably had 12, 13 players at training, not sure who was coming back, not sure who was leaving, not sure who our manager was before Christmas. So I think that kind of made us tighter and made us a closer bunch. And then when we set out at the start of the year, we all have the same goal. So it brought us closer, and thankfully we reaped the rewards.
Yeah, I think it's massively important though as well, like friendship on and off the pitch, because sport is so much more than what's on the pitch, you know, and what it gives you. But like, for me, one of the biggest reasons I came back this year was because of the girls that were sticking around. Like, one, I thought, yeah, look, my body has a bit more to give and, you know, time was going to allow it, etc. But the second one was the FOMO, you know. I didn't want to miss out and I didn't want to be away from the girls, and I just enjoyed playing football and kind of making those memories. But friendship is massive. You're able to, you know, call Hedgehog out in the middle of a pitch and, you know, for not doing her job here and there, and the trust that we have and the bonds that we've made push each other out. You know, we push each other in the game, and it's just like, Hedgehog knows I don't mean anything by it. I'm just trying
to get
the best
out.
You can
have a row. And we saw the extreme level of that with Idrissa Gay and Michael Keane for Everton last Monday. Now, they were
made. And that was a bit too extreme. I wouldn't be going punching her elbow with Hedgehog now.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code FITNESS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code fitness.
But they were having fun about it during the weekend, laughing it off. And obviously, you don't want to see it to that level. But yeah, I suppose what I'm trying to say is you can have a little bit of a, what are you doing? And then it'll be fine. It's not going to linger.
I think you need it. I think it's massively necessary. And I think that's one big thing for me as someone who's maybe a little bit more experienced. I'm not afraid to call anyone out or tell someone or have a bit of a spat, shall we say, on the pitch, because off the pitch, the girls know I'm doing it to get the best out of them and because I believe that they're better than what they've shown in that regards. And it pushes us to be better, and I think it's what makes us so competitive on this Dublin team.
Would you have got it when you were younger from other senior players?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in an era of Niamh McAvoy Sr. and Maria Kavanagh from Towers and stuff, who absolutely wouldn't be afraid to rip you from one to the other, but it's coming from a good place because
but
they know.
As long as you know there's a trust over that,
exactly,
then it's not going to be held as a grudge or against you in a team environment.
Yeah, I think the friendship off the pitch is definitely what leads to that.
Okay.
Like, you know somebody's personality off the pitch, that when they say something to you on the pitch, it's just to try and get the good out of you.
Yeah, and also for you to say, look, shut up, I'm doing my thing here as well. You know, you talk about being a goalkeeper there, Hannah, so you would have had different perspectives. I mean, what did being a goalkeeper as a young sports person do to help you, maybe your spatial awareness, your vision, and then to be a player later on?
I hated being a goalkeeper, to be honest. I only ended up in there because my club under 14 when we started didn't have one, and so we were taking turns. I'm really competitive though, and when it was my turn to go on goal, I didn't want to let anybody score. And so I ended up on the Dublin team as a goalkeeper from there. Didn't particularly like it, but...
What did you not like about it?
It's very restrictive. I like to run around, get the ball. I think for a lot of it, particularly on a team like that under 14 team, had Noelle Healy, Sinead Goldrick, Fiona Hudson, like Lindsay Davey, like went on to be superstars of the game, and we were fairly successful. And so I was just standing there doing nothing half the time, to be honest. But no, it was a role I had in the team, you know, and absolutely a hand-eye coordination, kicking skills, all that kind of really came into it. But I wasn't afraid to dive either and just kind of throw myself about, which came in handy, but I kind of got sick of that for a while. So I tried to had to convince a few people that I could play outfield. It took until 2021 with Mick, who hadn't seen Mick hadn't seen me play in goal in probably about 15 years. So I think he may have forgotten or something that I played in goal. So that was handy timing.
Now, when you play Camogie, are you also forward for Camogie as well?
Yeah, in the half forward line.
Yeah, so you're always being a forward both for the footballers and the Camogie players as well.
She plays the odd stint in centre half back.
Yeah, well, that was a couple of years ago. Well, I played centre back with my club this year with Clontarf. As Hannah says, I didn't quite like it either. If I like to get forward a lot, and when you have somebody to look after, it's not quite as fun.
You're amateur players. I'm looking at the amazing attendances we've had for All-Ireland ladies finals over, say, the last decade, over 48,000 this year. I mean, what is that like when you're running onto a pitch at Croke Park and you're seeing that many people from your own county and from Meath as well, or another county supporting you? Mm-hmm.
I think a Dublin v Meath match is always going to get good attendances.
Can you hear the crowd? Can you feel it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like with the junior and intermediate matches on beforehand, you kind of get a suss about it when those are going on, so you get to come out and kind of take it all in before you actually come out for your warm up. It's great, and we'd love to see more people come to our games. I'd like to say that we're kind of in a fortunate position that we're used to big crowds now. We love to see big crowds coming.
Yeah, now look, playing in Croke Park on any day, empty or full, it's very special, but All-Ireland final day is something else. You know, as you said, you've people from all different counties there supporting the three different age grades, and as I said, we've had amazing Dublin support over the last few years, and in fairness to Meath and Kerry in the last couple of finals we've been in, they've also kind of pulled their weight in that aspect. But when you first run out and there's that huge roar of the crowd, it kind of gives you that shivers. And myself and Hedjo actually, and the likes of Orla Nolan and Nicole Owens, we were beside each other in the parade this year, like, and just walking around kind of smiling, joking, trying to shake the nerves off. But like, just the amount of people that are there shouting, screaming your name, cheering for you, like, it's phenomenal. Would only hope that that figure for the women's game continues to rise, and that we continue to get that support, because the showcase and the skill on show is unbelievable.
Would you feel much nerves like when you're in that parade or even in the morning of the game?
No, I don't think so. No? I like to put my nerves down as excitement. And sure, once you meet the girls in the morning.
So you channel your nerves in a positive way.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. I try to anyway.
I get very nervous. I didn't when I was younger, kind of playing Dublin underage. But the last few years since I've kind of come back, shall we say, I get very nervous.
Why is that?
It's a big occasion, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. And I want to do well for me and my teammates and my family and for all the people that are coming to support us. But I think Hedjo said, like, being the 4 o'clock game, it can be quite tough. You're watching all the others getting going. It feels like a really long day. But once you meet the girls around 2 o'clock, it starts to ease a little bit. And definitely once you get to Croke Park, it kind of chills out a little bit and you're just ready to play football and you kind of tune in. But definitely an element of nerves from my perspective anyway. The porridge is very hard to eat that day.
Just porridge. That's it.
Porridge in the morning and plain pasta for me, just.
Plain pasta. Yeah. What about you and All-Ireland final day there, Niamh?
God, I'd be a Weetabix instead of porridge, and I'd probably go for a bagel instead of pasta.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to eat.
And to keep it down and, to use it as fuel. Yeah. Really enjoying the conversation we're having here with Hannah Tyrrell and Niamh Heatherton. All-Ireland winners with the Dublin Ladies this year. And we're going to continue the Saturday panel conversation after 2 o'clock. Just before we do, folks, if you want to get in touch with a question or a comment for Niamh or Hannah, please do on WhatsApp 087-9180-180. That is 087-9180-180. In the Championship second half, Leicester 1, Sheffield United 3. It's Portsmouth 0, Bristol City 1 and Stoke 1, Hull 1. Remember, in the Premier League this afternoon, 3 o'clock matches, Manchester City against Leeds, Sunderland, Bournemouth and Brentford versus Burnley. This is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. Ron Ertel 5, the Saturday panel's back after 2.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The Saturday panel
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by L'Oreal Men Expert. Try new Derma Control for oily and blemish prone skin.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 5. This week's Saturday panel on Off the Ball is brought to you by L'Oreal Men Expert. Try new Derma Control for oily and blemish-prone skin. We're delighted to be continuing the chat with Hannah Tyrrell and Niamh Heatherton as we reflect on their All-Ireland winning year with the Dublin Ladies footballers. Just got a WhatsApp in here on 087-9180-180. If you could bring back any retired Dublin female to play on the current team, who would it be? A question for Hannah and Niamh, says Aoife. But Hannah Tyrrell, obviously, you're going to say, because you just retired, haven't you?
I'm not convinced.
Can we come back? We'll have a think about that.
Yeah, have a think about that.
That's a big one.
Good question.
The end of the year last year, because the story of ladies football, you know, since I've been watching it, was all about Cork, really. Cork won 11 out of 12. We're just such a dominant team. And then Dublin won 4 in a row. And then Meath stopped that in 2021. And then Kerry came in. And last year, Galway narrowly beat you. Was hurt a driver for you to go again here, Hannah? Like, is hurt a motivating factor in sport?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. When we lost, I thought I knew going into the 2024 season that would be my last. You know, we won in 2023 and I was like, oh yeah, sure, we might as well go again kind of thing, but that's definitely going to be it, you know. And yeah, it was going grand, and then the Galway game, we just never got going. Nothing went right for us, and that loss was so devastating for so many of us in the squad. And I, for a long time, just was so sad about how that was going to be my Dublin career ending. And I really had my sights set on that. Like, that was it. And that's sport. You win some, you lose some, and all the rest. And I was lucky to have the career I had. And just, yeah, got a few text messages kind of November, December time, and met a few of the girls, and you know, it was a little bit up in the air because we hadn't got management yet and all the rest. But the lads were, Derek and Paul were, I suppose, announced as managers. I was in Australia at the time.
Paul Casey and Derek Murray.
And I was in Australia at the time, actually visiting Sinead Goldrick. Ailish was over there as well, and just a couple of chats kind of got me just interested, or piqued my interest a little bit, I suppose. And with all those going back, I was kind of like, why not? And I felt personally in 2023. I was nowhere near my best. Or sorry, 2024. I was nowhere near my best, and I kind of let the team down a little bit, not just in that Galway game, but throughout the year. And I just said, why not give it another year? And thankfully, my family, particularly my wife Circa, was very supportive when she came around to it, I suppose.
Because you've got a young daughter.
Yeah, I have a 2.5-year-old at home now. Do you know? So it's not just Aoife.
Very good.
So it's not just about like going back to the Dubs and giving up my time. It's taking time away from her. It's asking Circa and my family to do a little bit more, and minding and this, that and the other. And particularly with the LGFA, when matches are scheduled initially for Sunday and then, you know, 2 weeks before they're changed to a Saturday, or training dates change. Like, I had promised after I retired that, you know, it was Circa's time to go back out and get into sport again kind of thing. And then I was like, hello, I'm back with Dublin. So it kind of dictates. It takes over a lot of your life. But yeah, when I went back, I was all in. I knew that the lads had a couple of concessions. Aoife came to a couple of training sessions. I did a gym session every week on my own kind of thing, just to make it work. And yeah, I just felt in really good shape. I don't know why. And Yeah, I felt I was getting better with age.
When you say yes then, as you did, Hannah, to be back in for this year, what does yes mean then in terms of your day-to-day, in terms of the time and the effort you're putting into this, because you're teaching as well?
For me, it's all-consuming. Probably my wife would be a testament to that. It just means I'm fully committed. Everything that I'm doing in my daily routine is how can I be the best Dublin footballer that I can be and how can I contribute to this team? So whether that's working on my skills, working on my fitness, knowing my role in the team, doing my analysis, like, you know,
organizing. Would you log what you eat?
I'd be fairly lax, to be honest, on what I eat. But to a point, it's, yeah, just making sure you're fueled in particular and that kind of thing. But for me, it's all consuming. I'm all in if I'm in, and I can't help it. I kind of get a little bit addicted, I suppose.
How often are you training then a week?
I think you guys were four nights.
Yeah, a week,
so yeah. 4 nights a week, like, you know, but. So I was there 3 nights a week and then doing my gym, my own time once a week. But like, it's just outside of that, you've meetings, you've analysis to do in your own time. You might be having phone calls with players or other smaller little meetings to organise things. And then on top of that, you have social things and nights and everything else. And it just becomes
everything. Your lifestyle.
But we choose to do it, and we're very happy to do it. And we're lucky, obviously, we've had success to come from that. So it's easy to come back at times, but you do it for the love of the game and the pride and the privilege of playing for your county, but also for the girls, you know. I did all the runs and put in all the work and did all that because I knew the girls were doing the same. And that's how you're successful.
What about the yes for you when you say, I'm going to commit to this for another year? Obviously, you're a bit younger, Niamh. What does that entail for you?
Yeah, as Anna said, you do kind of come a bit addicted. It's kind of now a bit of a habit for me. I couldn't even think of stepping away, to be honest. And this will be my 8th season. And when I came out of minor and went straight up to senior, I kind of...
Had you even done your leaving when you were senior?
No, I was in 6th year. So I joined the panel in January 2019.
You've never taken a break? You've never gone to Australia for a year or anything?
No, I've been there.
And she will not be going either.
To be honest, it's a habit. And as Hannah said, the girls there, like, there's probably maybe 6 or 7 my age group that we would have come up together, and there's probably 4 or 5 of us still there, and like, you grow up with them and you're playing with them the whole time, so that makes it a lot easier. Yeah.
Is the treatment of players better since when you started as a ladies footballer? Are things more professional now? Do you feel like there's been progress made?
Well, for me, I kind of came into a professional setup.
Okay.
I think Mick probably made a lot of strides in that sense. So he came in 2017, so when I came up in 2019, he had the wheels in motion for 2 years. So I came up to a really professional setup, S&C's management, like, I think nutrition wise it was all there when I came up. I don't know, Hannah, if it was
when I was researching this slot, Hannah, I was looking for St Catharines 2011, the FAI Cup final that you won against the Denise O'Sullivan team at Wilton. I maybe got a snippet somewhere on the internet. I was looking for the 2023 final when you had that amazing first half against Kerry. You couldn't find it on the internet last night. There's obviously still a way to go, but, you know, as a woman who plays sport and has been doing so at the top level in various different sports for 15 years, have you seen a change? Have you seen things get better? What needs to continue to improve?
Yeah, look, obviously from the start of my career, absolutely has changed and has been transformed massively. Do we still have a way to go? Absolutely. But I definitely think the coverage, the media, as you said, Mick in particular, Mick Bowen, our former Dublin manager, was really good for making sure that there was a push for equity and equality within our team and the lads. And like, we've been always well supported from that regard, thanks to him. But just, yeah, the setups have changed massively. And that's like players and management, even when I first started, we're all still given 100% effort and everything else. But there's maybe now more financial support. There's a little bit more media attention and recognition around it, which then helps bring in more support and gets more people watching the game. You know, and even just the numbers of I think ladies football is probably the fastest grown sport in Ireland at the minute. And I know in my own club in Nafina, our girls mini section has way more members than it does in the boys mini section, like, which is only great to see. And that's because the last few years Dublin football has been so successful, and that whole idea of can't see it, can't be it, that's changing the narrative a little bit.
Because there's this initiative, I was looking here, that you've had this train with the Dub session recently. You've the younger LGFA players could go and interact with the team. Has that happened, Niamh?
Yeah, we held 2 sessions last weekend and they were a major success. We had
what ages of these younger
we
people?
Had 12 to 15 year olds down, and we had 125 kids each day, and We had 14 players each day running the training sessions, and they were a major success. The kids loved it. We got a few sponsors on board, and the kids got a goodie bag at the end of the day. And the feedback that we got afterwards was unbelievable, and kids loving it. And it was great. It was great for us to see. And yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah, no, we had a great day. And I think for us, a big part of, like, as I said before, I'm very proud and privileged to play for Dublin and lucky enough. And whether we like it or not, we're role models for the sport. And I suppose it was something that we wanted to offer up to some of these younger girls to know, like, that there is a future there for you if you wanted to go on and play for Dublin. And all of the skills that we did on that training day were stuff that we would do, you know, in. And we had a little Q&A at the end, and we brought Brenda Martin along for a little picture. And it was just a really nice way for those kids to interact with what they would see as their heroes and role models. But also, like, the Q&A in particular, one of the questions was, like, from one of the young girls was, did we all play underage for Dublin? And, like, one of the most, like, Martha Byrne never played underage for Dublin, went to trials, never made any of the teams, yet has become one of our most influential defenders, won a couple of All-Stars. And I think it was just to kind of show the girls that there's a pathway there, and it might not be right now for you. It might not be in a few years. You might be like Hedgehog's brother and you don't get your debut until you're, you know, in your 30s or whatever else. But, like, if you want to play for Dublin, there's opportunities there. And at the end of the day, well, we're seen as role models to them. We're just ordinary people, yeah. You know, and it was just nice for them. And, like, the delight and the smiles in their faces, like, it was amazing, you know. And we hope to hold a few more of those because the demand was overwhelming. We actually couldn't cater for everybody on the day. So it's just nice that that was there. And we had a great day, great few hours. It was very cold, but we had a great few hours.
No, well said. Was there a moment in the season where you said, yeah, we can win this All-Ireland?
Probably came very late in the year. It was probably the Galway game, the semi-final. I think Hannah's nerves, if she had nerves on the day of a match, I think the Galway game was probably summed that up.
Because they were leading.
Yeah, sorry, we were a point down with time almost up, and then we got a free outside the two-pointer arc, and Hannah thankfully stepped up and put it over the bar to send the game to extra time. And I think we came out of the blocks in extra time and kind of blew them out of the water in the first 10 minutes. So I think that was kind of the only real stage that we kind of believed, okay, we are good enough. Now, there are snippets during the year, like in the Waterford game in the first round of the All-Ireland. We were a point down with 7 seconds left on the clock, and Kate Sullivan comes up and puts the ball over the bar, which we didn't really deserve to get a draw out of that game. But it just shows the character and the group that we're never dead and buried, and there's nothing that is impossible for us. So yeah, I think the Galway game definitely brought the belief in the group, but I think it was building throughout the year.
How do you execute in a pressure moment like that as a sports person?
Just do what you always do. For me, free taking is something I've tried to specialise in over the last few years, and I realised that it's a job that not everybody wants, but I actually really enjoy it. I'd be really harsh on myself with free taking. But I don't know, that day in particular, in the warm-ups, the pitch was actually really nice. And
where was the pitch? Where was it?
We were down in Tullamore, Glenisco, O'Connor Park, wasn't it? And yeah, just the pitch was really nice. It was feeling really good. There was a nice breeze. And I just remember in the warm-ups, I was kicking them and striking them nice, you know. And the game actually didn't go too well for me personally. I just wasn't really feeling it, and I'd been sick earlier in the week. But I don't know, I just picked up the ball and said, don't worry, Carla, I'm going to put this over. And she was like, no, you mad thing, pass it to me. But I just had this belief, and I'd practiced it. So once I got into my routine, you know, it was like I was anywhere else, really.
When you're in a routine, do you block out other thoughts? Is there a way of switching off almost?
Yeah, almost. One thing I really do try to block out, particularly against Galway, is other players. I had a bit of a mess with Alva Davern in the league, I think it was, earlier that year or the year before, and she was trying to chat to me and, like, kind of when in the run up to my free about not missing, etc., etc. But so I tried to block out anyone kind of talking to me and stuff like that, and just get into it. But it's just about visualizing, putting the ball over the bar. Anywhere I've taken a free from is usually I've done it from that position a load of times before, so I'm kind of confident I can put it over. I'll never take a free and try score that I'm not confident I can do.
I spoke to Shane Lowry once about winning the Open golf up at Portrush in 2019, and he said on the Saturday he felt like birdie in every hole. He felt he was just in the zone, and he wished he could be in the zone all the time. I remember in the 2023 All-Ireland final, I think he got 8 points in the first half. Hannah, did you feel like the ball was like a magnet, that you were almost out of body and the things were slowing down?
Yep, it was the most amazing 30 minutes of football I've ever played and will ever play.
Or sport, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it just happened. I scored, I think, after about 10 seconds or something ridiculous. And again, just felt like I was striking the ball really nicely. I remember I got a turnover straight away and Orla scored, and the ball just kept coming. And I think I had very clever players around me who realised, I would say I felt in that zone. I've never felt that before, but it just felt different. And everyone kind of realised that and got me the ball, and thankfully it worked. Didn't get any in the second half. I was too busy passing.
Like, when you're watching that, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think we were kind of building towards a performance in 23, and we came out of the blocks and Kerry just could not get the ball away. I think kick out after kick out, we won and we pinned them in. And from the sideline, it was almost like, put the feet up here now, and like the girls are doing getting the job done. But yeah, no, I think the first half of 2023 was definitely special for Hannah. 8 points is unbelievable in a match, never mind one half. Now, as she said, she didn't get any in the second half, so we'll...
one for Hedjo.
We'll remind her about
Hedjo
that.
Hedjo had a nice one too.
But yeah, no, it was 23, first half was probably our peak performance, and we're probably trying to get back to that for a long time.
And I'd say, like, while I had an amazing first half in 2023, like, our whole team, I think, in 2023 had an amazing first half. Our backs were phenomenal because they had some incredible forwards, Louise Mahertig, like the on-song forward of the year that year. Leah Caffrey, for the most part, shut her down. Like, you know, Niamh Crowley, coming of age kind of that day, you know. And they got us the ball. They set a platform to get us. They pushed up, our backs pushed up on the kickouts, and we just completely ravaged Kerry. And like, it wasn't just me. I was the one who finished off a lot of the plays, but we had some incredible, incredible performances in that first half that would be very hard to replicate on any day, but we're still chasing it.
Well, you had it against Meath maybe in the first half this year. Did you feel overcoming Galway maybe almost took a bit of pressure off you for the final?
I wouldn't say pressure, but I mean, we spoke about hurt earlier on, but last year against Galway, we probably would have brought a lot of hurt into this year's semi-final. Probably thinking back to how we felt the days after losing to them last year, which was not a good feeling, and I suppose we didn't want that to happen again. So when we got over them in the semi-final, I wouldn't say that it was a relief, but I mean, it definitely gave us a bit of a platform now to build on in the final, and no better way than to play Meads.
Were you gunning for them because of what happened in 2021?
I don't want to say gunning for them, but
not this year anyway. I think we probably would have been gunning for them when we played them in 22. But I think a lot of the team has changed. It's probably not too many players still there from 2021, so I mean, we probably put that hurt behind us, but it's always nice to beat Meath.
Yeah, like, I would have probably had it in the back of my head, just, oh, they got us in 21 kind of thing. But there was just, I suppose for me anyway, an element of fear with that Meath team. Just, they beat Kerry probably unexpectedly in most people's eyes, and they've obviously some marquee players that, if you let them run right, we'll do an awful lot of damage. But I suppose, yeah, the Galway game gave us that platform, gave us a bit of confidence, and we knew we had the capabilities, and we knew if we performed that we could win no matter who was in front of us. We probably hadn't performed all year up until that point, and we just got going again really quickly. And
you pressed very well.
Yeah, and I think that's something probably we've been good at, you know, and when it works, it works. And we've been on the other side of that when other teams pressed us. It's pressure.
Because then it's, for them, it's, oh, we can't get out of this.
Yeah. But yeah, we got a lot of scores early, and we got a couple of goals, a couple of nice ones. And yeah, just, I suppose that kind of tension and pressure that we had started to melt away, and we could open up and play even more expansive football.
We're chatting to Hannah Terrell and Niamh Heatherton about Dublin's year winning the All-Ireland Ladies football title. You score a goal in that first half. What is that buzz like?
Scored two.
One was just a let. Yeah, no, like, I don't know if I kind of think back about the moment that I did score, but I think I was asked during the week in the school, like, how do you react to that? I was like, you pretend it didn't happen and you get back to your position to do your next job. But yeah, it probably wasn't until a couple of days later that I kind of realised, oh God, I did actually score a goal. As Hannah said, like, just on the end of whatever the team moves are. But yeah, no, obviously it was pretty special.
Because you're so commanding in your lead at halftime. What is the halftime talk then about process? Is it all process talk?
Yeah, keep going. Like, nothing would have changed at halftime for us than it had been when we came into the dressing room in the semi-final when we were losing. It's, you know, pick out what we're doing well, pick out what we're doing not so well, and fix it and keep going and pretend that lead isn't there, basically, because the last thing you want is to be complacent and to come out on the wrong side of a score.
Somebody's been in touch to say the Galway semi-final was the famous Carla Rowe backheel.
It was, you're right, yeah, and she'll never live that down either.
No, I think she got a good bit of slagging afterwards. I think Orla ran over to her and let her know that that wasn't what we're about straight after on the pitch. But yeah, no, the ball went into the net. That's probably the main point. Yeah.
Mick Bowen is a hard man to follow. Did so well with the Dublin players and obviously with the men's team as well back in, 2013. So you got Paul Casey and Derek Murray. And I mean, how do you view their management? How do you then, every management team has got their own different styles. How did you gel with them?
I think we were lucky enough that the lads have been involved the last few years, and as well, they were previous players for Dublin as well, so they really understand the kind of player mentality, what it's like, what we're looking for. And because we knew them and a lot of the background staff stayed the same, I think it was a really nice kind of transition. They like to put their own spin on it as well and try and move away from, I suppose, the Mick Bowen era. But the relationships we had with them from prior allowed us to still continue to challenge them and look for the best out of them. And, you know, for them, I suppose, like, and it wasn't a perfect year from any of us players, management alike, and they'll still be looking to next year to try and improve things. But we couldn't ask for anything more right now.
No.
No, the lads were brilliant when they came in, and I think they probably have a different managerial style than Mick did. But I would say that they're very approachable to all players, whether you're new or you've been there a couple of years. And I think that was probably very important this year with a lot of new players. So yeah, no, they were deadly, and things got off to a rocky start at the start of the year. We didn't do so well in the early rounds of the league, but we haven't lost a game since February. So, I mean, they learned very quickly and we built on it.
Another question in here on WhatsApp 0879180180 for Hannah Tyrrell and Eve Heatherton. Folks, how important was the return of Orla Nolan to the team last season after her ACL injury the previous year? Says Noel.
Unbelievable. We were waiting for her to come back all year, to be honest. I think she's probably herself, and I would say Martha Byrne in the backs, like, they're probably the most underappreciated players from, maybe if you're looking outside the county, but for us as forwards in particular, she's our conductor. Her brain is phenomenal. Her skills are phenomenal. She's a very quiet, demeanoured person, but she's not afraid. If she shouts at you, you know you've done something wrong. But great to see her return. Yeah. Just the injury she went through, you know, it's tough going, and to do it in style.
And even though she wasn't on the pitch probably the start of the year, she was still doing unbelievable work for us. Obviously, she was doing her rehab with us, but the amount of hours she put into our analysis and videos and bringing on, like, I think Sophie McIntyre probably had, like, Orla in her ear in every single game. But because Orla has that experience of playing that position, she was nearly talking Sophie through the game and on the sideline. And, like, she was an unbelievable part of the team. Even though she wasn't on the pitch, she was still contributing, like, more than people on the pitch, I would say. But, yeah, no, the hours she put into video analysis and her rehab as well, like, to get her back in the shape she came back in, and like, it just shows the type of person she is to come back and get a few minutes in the quarterfinal and then get man the match in the All-Ireland final. It just shows exactly who Orla Nolan is.
The men's game has seen revolutionary changes. We got the three up and four back, the 2-point score, which is probably the biggest change in ways, a return to longer kickouts. Would you like to see similar changes in ladies football?
Yeah, look, and they're being proposed. I think they're being brought to the LGFA for the upcoming league. And I'm a bit annoyed. I am retiring because I would have liked to try it. Particularly, look, as said, I know Hedgehog probably wore 14 on her back, but played centre forward most of the year and kind of in and out of that. But that three up or four back rule, whatever it is, will be massive because it will give forwards a bit of space. You know, I was only dying for that to come in and give us a little bit of space, a bit more one-on-one to see that kind of attacking prowess.
There might have been a feeling with the men's game it was a bit broken, but has the ladies' game been broken as much? Maybe not.
I would say the three-up rule is definitely going to help. I think a lot of teams have gone to the defensive mode, and because it was so successful for me in 2021, that's what ultimately won them in All-Ireland, was their defensive system and their attacking on the counter-attack. But yeah, no, as forwards, we definitely don't like to see defensive setups. So yeah, with the three-up rule, it will definitely help fix what... Yeah. Like, we're an attacking team ourselves. We hate the full forward line ended up in the backs. For a team like us, yeah, we love to see that.
I think it'll bring a lot more exciting kind of front football. And there's also being some amendments made to the tackle and how you can
tackle. Could the game be more physical?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it will be now with these new rules. So they're allowing a little bit more of what they've called incidental contact. We can now tackle the body as opposed to the ball being placed out. And they're also the big thing that's probably been controversial in the women's game over the last few years has been the charge rule. And they're kind of trying to give the defender a little bit more safety around that. So it'll be the ref's discretion and how they kind of ref it and how they view it. But I think some of these rules will have massive implications for the women's game in a really positive one. I think others, the two-point arc won't be utilised as much. I don't think the 40-metre kick-out mark will be used as much. Well, not maybe from some teams' perspectives in that regard. But the solo and go, Orla Nolan's going to thrive with that one. Keeve O'Connor's going to thrive with that one, you know. And then the descent one, maybe I'm glad I'm retired because I'd be giving them out left, right and centre. So, yeah.
What about this Australian rules situation? You talked about being down with Sinead Goldrick last year, Hannah meeting her, and she came back then for the All-Ireland this year. But like this morning, even North Melbourne won. You had, Eric O'Shea from Cork, Blaheen Bogue from Fermanagh, and Vicky Wall, who won the All-Ireland with Meath in 21 on their team, and an AFLW title win. They're on professional contracts. Can you understand why it happens? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it? Is it hurting ladies' football here?
All of those can be true at the same time. Do I understand why it happens? Absolutely. As I mentioned, the reason I left Dublin GAA back in 2014 to go to rugby was because of an opportunity to play professional in a different environment. That's what AFLW is offering. But it's also offering different lifestyle, an opportunity to travel, you know, when maybe the economy here isn't ideal. And for some players like Goldie and like Ailish O'Dowd and stuff, they also are getting to play with Dublin, so they don't have to make a choice. Is it hurting ladies football? Ultimately, if you look at it from a bigger picture, absolutely. You look at a team like Mayo, they've been ravaged over the last number of years. I'd say they've about 10 players over there playing AFLW who now are not playing for Mayo. And Mayo, have they suffered as a result? Absolutely. It's a very hard one to challenge and deal with. You don't want to stop these players from going and taking this amazing opportunity. But we also want our best players playing here in Ireland and playing for their counties. But the only way to try and stop that would be to professionalise LGFA here, and I just don't know. I don't think that's the right answer.
No. Yeah, you can't blame people for going over, but as Hannah said, yeah, it's taken probably 40 of our talented players away from the sport. I think there was 39 or 40 players over there from Ireland this year, and yeah, like, you can't blame people for going. They're getting a chance to play professionally, but at the same time, yeah, it's definitely taken away from the sport here.
Would you like to do it now? No interest?
It doesn't really appeal to me, though. I think I've spent too many years trying to get a starting position with Dublin that I think I'd be silly to try and lose that.
Very, very good. So what are you going to do now? You're retired. Any regrets about hanging it all up?
Absolutely not. How could I ever regret on the careers that I've had? You know, I played sport and I'm very ambitious, and I obviously wanted to win things, but it wasn't all about winning. You know, even if we hadn't won this year, I'd have no regrets, I think. Everything I've done, everything I've achieved, and all the memories I've made have been so special. Look, I've a young family at home. I look forward to being able to do things outside of sport. I hopefully want to get into coaching, do a few bits. Still have my club there, but the biggest thing for me, first and foremost, will be recovering from my ACL so I can run around with my daughter again and just enjoy life and the freedom that you get with it. Because
what's the timeline on that ACL?
I have another 6-7 months, I'd say, unfortunately.
So you're talking about coaching, any specific code? Will it still be Gaelic games? Or
she'll be back in with us, don't worry.
I know, look, Gaelic football, obviously I'd love to give back to Gaelic football, but rugby, you know, it's a little bit harder kind of to break into, but it's quite a technical game and I do love that aspect of it. So Yeah, maybe down the line I'd love to get back into rugby.
And probably heartened to see the rugby team on the way back after failing to qualify for World Cup, the France game this year.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's phenomenal, you know, and like they had, I know results didn't fully go the way they wanted in the World Cup this year, but just even to get back into the World Cup, to put it up to some of the teams they played and to get this kind of green wave back on the road, they've done phenomenal work. And, you know, like, we've one of the best players in the world, in my opinion, with Aoife Wafer there in the back row. And I think we'll only continue to get better players the more we develop. We just never put the time, effort or money into it. And now we're starting to see that once you do, you actually get really good talent out of it.
What about yourself then, Niamh? Like, is it just to continue on this track with the Dublin footballers? You know, the hunger is always going to be there, and maybe there'll be a day when it isn't. But right now you're saying, like, bring on next year. Is there a time to celebrate? Is there a time when you just don't even pick up a ball? Or with club, do you always have the ball?
Plenty of times for Hedgehog.
Yeah, I think it's important to have our downtime as well. I think I'm enjoying the off-season now. And look forward to going back in January with a fresh mind and start fresh in January. But yeah, no, enjoying the off-season. But yeah, for the next couple of years, I'd say my years will look very... very the same, very much the same as the last couple of years have with Dublin club.
Hopefully with the same success.
Hopefully, yeah,
absolutely. Because it's quite competitive. Kerry, we talk about, you know, obviously Galway there and Meath in the last few years. And over the years, you remember there's a time when you had Waterford and you had Monaghan and you had Mayo, Corrie-Staunton. Counties do tend to come out of a well almost like an oil well and burst into. Like Armagh being a good team in recent years, it just feels like a very competitive landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably the last 5 years there's been three different winners of the All-Ireland, so that kind of shows how competitive it is. Waterford are definitely a team that are up and coming, and I fear them always. As I said earlier on, when we played them in the first round of the All-Ireland, we were only lucky to get out of there with a draw, so they're really talented. Galway as well, you never take them for granted. And then you have Meath and Kerry, who have probably been successful over the last couple of years. But I think Galway and Waterford will definitely be hungry for success in the next couple of years. And yeah, like, we can't take any team for granted. I think it's so competitive, no matter who you're playing, you can't take the eye off the ball, because ultimately everybody's there for the same goal. So yeah, I don't think anybody's going to lie down and let you walk over them very easily.
Are you in the business world? Is this the
yeah,
finance
I'm an
world?
Accountant, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, obviously, we have to get the numbers right. And you do the history teaching, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a teacher in St. Patrick's Cathedral Grammar School. I teach history and geography and a little bit of PE.
So you can find out where it is and you can find out how much it costs. Yeah. But any period of history that interests you?
For me, probably be European, kind of World War.
Yeah.
Two in particular, atomic bomb, that kind of stuff.
Very good, very good. So that's it really for the chat today. Look, I suppose when you're looking at the ladies' Gaelic football scene for 2025 with Dublin, it's been an amazing journey. What I've really got the sense of this year, Hannah and Niamh, has been the friendships and the bond that you have with the squad, and that you really feel that you did it for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and that's it. You can't do it on your own. It's a team sport for a reason. Like, I was never really into individual sports because I probably didn't have the drive on a rainy day to get out there. But you can't let your teammates down, and then you get to enjoy all the good times that come with it. And I'm finished now, and I kind of talked about that before, but like, it's long after I'm finished playing that I'll be able to look back in the memories, still hopefully chatting to the girls and kind of enjoy what we did and what we achieved. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think coming into this year, we'll probably make more friends, because there's probably going to be a shift in the panel members this year. So I suppose we're just adding to our friendships. With Hannah gone, somebody has to replace her. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Niamh Heatherton and Hannah Terrell. Really enjoyed the chat over the last year. And you're going to get a team holiday out of this, are you?
Hopefully, that's the plan anyway.
Yeah, we're in the middle of organising something there at the minute. But if anyone wants to donate, hit me up on my Instagram, we'll sort you out.
Very good. Hannah Terrell, Niamh Heatherton, thanks so much for coming into Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. On the panel, sponsored by L'Oreal, we're going to get the latest stories and scores from the world of sport as we look ahead to the Premier League, starting at 3 with Will O'Callaghan after this.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by L'Oreal Men Expert. Try new Derma Control for oily and blemish-prone skin.